I would like to call to order the April action agenda of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. As is our comment, our custom, we'll begin with our public comment. I will ask our guests to please respect the time of the board. We're trying to get out of here at noontime. So our first speaker will be David Foster, followed by Frankie Severina, followed by Don Thomas. Mr. Foster.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. I appreciate your making the time available for public comment on your busy morning here. I want to visit with you briefly about the final environmental impact statement for I-81 and its treatment of rail. As you no doubt already realize, the final EIS rejects rail altogether and says that it will not be an issue carried forward for consideration in the Tier 2 analysis. We can find that disappointing, I suppose, and we understand the reasons that the rail analysis has been rejected. The analysis done in the draft environmental impact statement was badly flawed and was full of procedural errors and errors of fact and so on. We spent countless hours detailing those and pointing them out in our detailed comments on the DEIS. And of course, in an ideal world, what would happen is that these shortcomings would be fixed and we would come up with a treatment of rail in the final EIS that was more thorough and more professional and all around better done. The effort in the DEIS was of such trivial moment that it could not possibly have had any material effect in diversion from the highway. So we could have hoped for a better result. We didn't really think that would happen. And that's why we began that independent effort to get an I-81 for rail study moving. We got the bill through the General Assembly last year to start work on the study, and it's now ongoing, as you realize. But what I want to talk to you just briefly about this morning is whether we're smart at this point to include all these disparaging comments about rail in the final EIS. The final EIS takes an almost, and this is my interpretation, an almost jeering approach to rail. It denounces it as unreasonable. It says that it can't have an effect on diversions from the interstate. I could stand here and read you some of these more sensational quotes, but in the interest of time, perhaps I won't. I would urge you to look at the FEIS and its statements about rail. In a number of places, it says, quote, in fact, even if 100% of the trucks were removed from I-81 in Virginia and their freight put on rail, the majority of the roadway improvements, including 7 of the 8 SIUs, would still be necessary. Here is another quick one from the FHWA. It says, it is not in the best overall public interest to authorize federal highway funds on exploration of unreasonable alternatives. So in summary, I guess what we find even more infuriating than the fact that we spent all this time detailing the shortcomings of the rail studies in the DEIS is the fact that none of that has changed. All those shortcomings are still there, and now we have this editorial overlay that's been added telling us how futile it is to consider rail. I don't see how that can possibly benefit the Commonwealth. At your meeting in October, which I thought was a very good approach, and I'll refer just a moment to your...
Mr. Foster,
yes, sir?
Could you please sum up?
Yes, your resolution talked about it needing an independent track for the rail study. This is the first paragraph of your now be it resolved. it says that you will pursue an independent rail study that's not part of the EIS. So at this point, I think it would be far less prejudicial and in the face of the many people who had come out during the EIS comment period to support rail, to leave the rail out of the FEIS altogether. I ask you to think about that. You would have a fully compliant highway analysis, a fully NEPA compliant highway analysis going forward into the FEIS with no rail in there. And you have the perfect basis for that because the FHWA has told you that an interstate analysis is required to consider rail adequately, and they aren't going to do an interstate analysis. So you have a perfect basis for leaving rail out of the FEIS. Then you have the highway track coming
Mr. Foster, into the FEIS. Mr. Foster, we do. We're a very short time frame. There are other citizens waiting to speak on other issues. Could you please sum up?
Yes, sir. You have the highway stuff coming to you in the FEIS, and you'll have the rail material coming to you independently in the I-81 freight rail study. And then in the future, decisions made about I-81 and capacity improvements could draw upon both of these. I think that's a much more constructive and less original approach than to let this FEIS go forward with all the derogatory comments that it now contains about rail. I don't see how that does anybody any good.
Okay. So I would just... Thank you very much, Mr. Foster. Our next speaker, and I don't mean to cut you off this far, you're raising some very legitimate issues, but we are very constrained for time. Our next speaker is Mr. Frankie Reverina.
I represent one-third of the population of Orange County in a community of 4,200 homes. What I want to talk today is about a very dangerous road in our county, which is Route 20. Last year, on a 25-mile stretch of road from Route 3 to the town of Orange, there were 109 traffic accidents. That's one accident nearly every 3 days. The VDOT six-year plan does not include any funds, any project-specific funds for the Route 20 construction. The VDOT engineer in the Culpeper District is using funds which he's scraping up from excess projects, money not spent on other projects, to add band-aids to this highway. And I don't believe the band-aids are effective, and I don't believe they're very timely. I am requesting that in your next review, which is in May of the six-year plan, that you include the funding for the following Route 20 intersections. Route 601 and FY 2008, fund left turn lanes on 20 and 601, and we are starting to work on 601. Also add signals. The Orange County CIP includes $750,000 for this road in that fiscal year. The Route 611 in FY 2009, fund the left turn lanes on Route 20 and 611, add signals. And again, the Orange County CIP includes $970,000 for that intersection in FY09. On Route 3, in FY 2009, fund an extension to left turn lane and the westbound lanes. In 2010, fund an extension for Route 20 in the left turn lane of Route 15 at Route 522, one of the busier intersections. In 2011, fund left turn lane on 20. Again, the Orange County CIP includes money for that. And Route 621 in FY 2011, fund a left turn lane on 20. Again, Orange County has included funds for that in CIP. In 602 and 671, in 2012, fund left turn lanes. Route 600 and Nason, In FY 2013, east and westbound lanes need to be combined into one intersection, and left turn lanes need to be combined. Orange County has included a significant amount of money in their CIP for improvements on this highway. So I think if VDOT will work with the county, you can reduce the exposure in your six-year plan. And I think VDOT is serious about providing Route 20 some specific fund for Route 20 improvements. It is a dangerous highway, and there are many lives lost on that highway. So I want to thank you for listening to one of your customers, which includes a whole heap of people in Orange County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rowena. Our next speaker is Mr. Don Pometer. Welcome, Mr. Pometer.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and board members. I'm the president of the Standardsville Area Revitalization Program, known as STAR. And I hope that you know Standardsville is one of Virginia's most beautiful little towns up against the mountains just north of Charlottesville here. And it unfortunately is one of those towns, like many, that has gone into decline in the last 50 years. It had 150 years from 1794 as a thriving community, as an entranceway to the Blue Ridge Mountains and beyond, and then went into decline. And we in Standardsville have determined to reverse that and revitalize it. And VDOT has become a very important partner in that effort. And we wish to thank you here today. Thank you on behalf of the citizens of Standardsville and for the help that VDOT and the staff have given. It may seem small in the numbers that you're talking about, the hundreds of millions of dollars that you've been talking about, but I can assure you that the enhancement program and other ways in which you've helped us makes an enormous difference to local citizens. In particular, and I think that the commissioner's comments were very much online, it's the people that make the difference to the organization and its effectiveness. People like Pam Liston in Richmond have been an enormous outreach. Now we have Karen Kilby helping, Tracy Elliott also from the Culpeper District. In the Charlottesville staff, has also been of great help to us in very simple things like Joe DeMizio helping us get Welcome to Standardsville funds for that. And that makes an enormous difference for us. And finally, I'd like to thank Mr. Davies, who on several trips has really given us a lot of good help and advice and been very supportive in our efforts. Again, I'd like to thank you and the VDOT staff. And we look forward to working in partnership with you in the future.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who wishes to address the board under citizens' time? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I have two items that I really feel compelled to bring up. And I'm happy to do it under new business or wherever you think it's appropriate. One will relate to 81, and the other will relate to how we set our agenda for these meetings.
Okay. The Local Assistance Division, Action Item 1A, Warren County. Are there any questions?
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action Item 1B.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
On the right of way and utilities, Ms. Waymack, if you could come up, please. Action item 2A, which is Route 10 and 641 in Chesterfield County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2B relates to the same project.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Map 58 on action item 2C.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2D, Route 64, 168, and Frontage Road F671 in York County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2E, which is Route 91, which is out of old Route 105.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2F, which is Route 165.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 2G, which is Route 360 in Halifax.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2H, Route 745 in Washington County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 2I, which is Route 23, renumbered to Route 460.
Move approval. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3A, which is, these are three separate actions on limited access control change, Route 171 between Route 17 and Route 134 in York County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3B, which is Route 647 and the Interstate I-81 interchange.
Is this, Mr. Chairman, question, is this the exit 17? 14. Move approval. Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3C, which is Route 267 in Fairfax.
Move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Under the programming division, Mr. Worley, are you speaking on behalf of handling this item? Action item 4, which are the 6-year improvement program transfers for the month of March. Are there any questions of Mr. Worley?
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and then action item 5, which I don't profess to understand, which is obligation and timely utilization of federal funds. Are there questions of Mr. Worley?
Mr. Chairman, I don't understand it either, except it enables us to get more money from the federal government. Therefore, I move approval.
Second.
Comment?
Mr. Chairman, I don't understand it either, and I don't have any inclination to vote for something that I don't understand. It says action on obligation and timely utilization of federal funds. The little bit of explanation that we received previously indicated that this was a way to obligate monies that would allow projects involving federal funds to move forward on a more timely basis. I don't know which projects they are. I don't know whether the prioritization of those projects is consistent with the vision or policy objectives that we've approved previously at the CTB. And my own view is we need more explanation or we need to defer this, and I'll vote accordingly. I don't know if you can provide that explanation for us now, but if it takes more time than we thought we would have, that's perfectly fine with me.
I'll try to do an explanation, Secretary. what this is that we have a 6-year program, and we have different 6 years broken out, and we have allocations per year. Our practice has been to obligate those amounts within the, this is 07, within the 07 year, and not extend out to 08, 09, and 010. In order to use our obligation authority this year, because we were real pressed, what we would like to do is for the projects you've already approved that's in the program, we would like to obligate amounts and maybe 08, 09, and 010. For example, if I have project A, and that project has $5 million in 07, we would obligate that amount with the Federal Highway Administration. But it may have an amount in 08 of another $10 million. We would not obligate that today. We would wait till the next fiscal year to obligate that amount with the Federal Highway Administration. The only thing we're asking is to let us obligate the whole $15 million this year so that we can take advantage of use all of our federal obligation authority for the year, which is going to be $700 million. And we have to demonstrate by September of this year that we can do all of that. Now, I can wait until July 1 when I have a new program. And then we will have more funding in the program, and I probably have more opportunity to allocate or obligate projects. Unfortunately, that only gives me July, August, and September.
To obligate, so to get the contracts, the bids out, the contracts in.
To get our work. Paperwork straight with the Federal Highway Administration as to what we will obligate.
Mr. Chairman. Greg, as I understand it, in years past, we have made a lot of money by being able to obligate our matching funds, and therefore other states that don't, we get what they didn't get by September 30th. We get it instead because we're able to obligate faster. And what I think I hear you saying is that we don't quite have enough in this fiscal year to grab as much federal dollars as we could, so you'd like authority to obligate some from next fiscal year in order to grab more money out of this year's federal fiscal year.
That is exactly right. In 06, I believe we got an additional $30 million.
You write that down.
07,
it's all been recorded.
Is there any money for I-81 in any of this?
I don't know.
We have to work with these structures.
Okay, we have an action item in front of us. Action item 5, are there any other questions of Mr. Worley? Is there a motion?
I think we've already made it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Or opposed, nay.
Thank you. Next up, BRPT, action item 6, which is a resolution relating to the program projects. We did have a work session item on that. I suspect there may be questions. Mr. Tucker or Mr. Bed, could you kind of walk through the resolution and explain what it says so folks understand? And again, I think there was a legitimate concern raised. We have, at least since I've been chair, evolved into a practice where we typically have a work session 1 month and an action item the next. I will say that in this instance, because there are some personnel issues involved, there are some timing issues associated with how this gets rolled out to the CTB, and that does explain, I think, why you've got some of the agenda items late and why we're asking for action a little more sooner than we're customarily have been used to. So, Mr. Badger, do you have a quick overview of the resolution, please?
Chairman. The resolution before you will authorize the Director of the Department of Rail and Public Transportation to spend up to $11.3 million to initiate a series of 8 projects that are listed on the second page. As you heard yesterday, all of these projects were derived from a very careful and thorough strategic assessment of the mission and role of our agency. We firmly believe that all of these initiatives are essential to the performance of the core functions of our agency. We're anxious to get these initiatives underway. We have some very difficult tasks to perform in the next few months to finalize and implement the new business plan for the agency. And these initiatives will enable us to finalize and implement the business plan and to produce some key products that will help us better manage the new revenues that are coming to our own public transportation. We need to start many of these initiatives now in order to have these products ready to use next year when we develop our program. We do ask your approval of this resolution.
Mr. Chairman, this is actually quite a bit of money, and I've looked at the spreadsheet, I've read the paperwork. I understand how the dollars are being allocated by the 8 different activities, but I don't understand what the dollars are going for. Is that personnel? Are we hiring a lot of additional personnel? It seems like, what is it, about a 200% increase?
That I will refer to as the budget sheet. And when you look at that sheet, there are really only 2 items on there that are really recurring items on an annual basis. There are the audit function, and then it is the PMC, essentially, mm-hmm. the use of contractors to complete our work. I want to put that in some context in terms of what we're talking about in terms of administrative costs for DRPT. Right now, out of our total budget, about 1% of our costs go to administrative costs. Unfortunately, it is not a percentage. It is actually a fixed dollar amount of $5 million. Now, if you look forward to FY08, based upon the presentations that we've heard today, what we're talking about, if you assume the maximum cost for those two recurring items, is our administrative cost as a percentage of our budget going up to 1.5% at the maximum level. And put that in the context of the programs for which our dollars leverage, and you're talking about more than $2.2 billion in FY07. So if you put it in that context in terms of what we're attempting to do here, the item that is most significant is the use of consultants, but that is really more of a balancing act that will fluctuate based upon our program really from year to year.
Is that essentially setting up what I have called CETAs in the past, working with the Department of Defense, where you've got an outside private sector organization, they have skill sets, they're trusted agents, essentially, and you'd be able to access them?
Right, and actually what we're looking to do is something essentially that, but really with a joint venture, having companies come together and bring different pieces of expertise into our different programs. Like within our rail element, we're looking for certain levels of expertise associated with rail, with our rail program and our public transportation and congestion management. So we're looking for firms to look towards partnering and bringing those bodies. So some of those bodies we would anticipate may be with us maybe long term. There's some of those bodies we would maybe contract with for on a basis of a couple of hundred hours a year, but it would give us that level of flexibility to manage the needs of our program. So it's really allowing us to be flexible to meet our needs and having our staffing levels float up and float down consistent with our program needs.
Mr. Tucker, as I indicated yesterday, and I'll indicate it again, I am very uncomfortable handing over, if you will, on a carte blanche basis, 11 and some odd million dollars at this time. I told you yesterday that I applauded your efforts to really vet your organizational structure, and I continue to feel that way. But to turn over what essentially amounts to 200% of your annual administrative budget, $5 million a year. This is another $11 million on top of that as a one-shot infusion. I think in order to do that responsibly, we need to see a full business plan, and I don't think we've seen that at this point. You've indicated yourself that you'll be providing that business plan sometime between now and August. To accommodate the fact that you may need some consulting input and other work in order to write and finalize that business plan, I have no problem with a motion by the CTB to do two things. One, to, as a technical matter, consolidate this $11 million and indicate that under the right conditions, it will be made available to DRPT, and then to provide perhaps $500,000 to $1 million of that now for you to utilize as you complete that business plan. But I would like to see the rest of that money conditioned on a finalized business plan that we approve that really describes exactly how those consultant services and how your additional staffing are going to be used to achieve the goals that you set out.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very sympathetic to what Mr. Tucker wants to do because it badly needs doing, and I'm glad he wants to do it. I am a little uncomfortable about the haste with which we are presented with this, but his explanation yesterday satisfied most of my concerns about it. I'm also somewhat sympathetic to Peter's points, and I think at this point I would like, I would like to see that document he gave us yesterday that helped us answer exactly what he was going to do with the money included formally with this measure we may approve, because it's not in the package. And I think it's critical that we actually approved the allocation of the $11.3 million for the specific tasks and assignments that we discussed at some length yesterday afternoon, because without that, we're handing him $11 million to do it, not entirely as he pleases, of course, but I'd feel much better if we at least had that in there and that he came back to us. I think you said monthly with reports. So I think over the next 3 or 4 months, we will have a pretty good idea whether this, what this is actually accomplishing.
I second your motion.
Is that an amendment to the resolution?
I think it says on a quarterly basis.
He just said
monthly.
Well, his presentation yesterday indicated he would bring us a report every month.
Is that a motion?
We don't have an underlying motion, do we?
And I second.
All in favor of that amendment to the main motion?
Nobody's made a motion yet.
No, that wasn't.
I'll move the adoption.
Okay. Are there any other questions before we get into that? Are there any other questions in Mr. Tucker? Okay. There is a motion or a resolution for you. Is there a motion?
I move to adopt.
I second.
Okay. Now, there is an amendment on the floor.
To add the detailed budget sheet that he provided yesterday, allocating the money to particular tasks and an indication of whether that was consultant or staff or one time or ongoing.
Second.
And the monthly.
And the monthly reporting. Thank
second.
You.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second to amend the main motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Is there any opposition?
Opposed.
One no. Okay. Is there any other amendments?
I'd like to propose another amendment, Mr. Chairman, and that would be that of the $11.3 million, $500,000 of that be made available to DRPT at this time to continue with their consultants to complete the business plan, and that the rest of it be available as soon as a completed business plan is presented to and approved by the CTB, which could be at the next meeting or at any meeting that that Mr. Tucker proposes.
Second.
Okay, are there any questions about these? I might ask Mr. Pitter, where do these monies reside today? So they're actually in the agency and have been appropriated and programmed.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I understand the normal way the CTB has proceeded in years past, but what I would like to make the point is we've got an extraordinarily energetic response to one of the challenges we put before DRPT, and particularly Mr. Tucker when he took this job. He's brought a tremendous amount of expertise in a very short period of time and is proposing actually a fundamentally different way of proceeding with his agency. At the very time, the board and others have succeeded with the General Assembly and the governor to get an extraordinary amount of new money put into the rail system. What convinces me that this is a good action plan to proceed is that you see that money appearing almost immediately in next year's budget, and a significant amount of work needs to be done for us to be able to utilize that money in a timely fashion. You'll remember, Mr. Tucker, that my first comments to you when you came was to complain about the sloth with which the I-95 improvements, rail corridor improvements, had proceeded. They had been talked about for years, and practical steps were never being taken to make that a reality. This is a streamlining process that, to me, the body should endorse as opposed to try to hold back. If we can encourage actually others in the system to really take the bit in their teeth and want to move ahead quickly, I think that's what we ought to do. So I'm going to oppose your motion. I understand your rationale, but the performance is what I'm looking at here in the preparation to use that money wisely.
Mr. Chairman, I share some of the comments which Doug has made, but at the same time, I look at the underlying amendment which Peter's offered, and that won't restrict going forward on this at all. I mean, the initial tranche of money to finish the business plan will be conducted. That will be available. They'll come back, and then we'd approve the final allocation of funding at next month's meeting. So I don't see that it necessarily would slow down any of the work that's been advocated. That's just a good
chance to review what would normally be, you know, the process is a little bit different on this particular action, but it would allow at least a little bit of normalization put back into the system where before we approved the full amount, we'd have the full business plan.
Mr. Chairman, I asked a question yesterday about the context for administrative cost and total expenditures. I got my answer today. 1 or 1.5% on $2 billion. And we've waited all this time for the money to be available to do something with rail. And now we're all saying, no, let's hold back, rather than trust the agency that we know has to plan and prepare to spend this money wisely. And although I have a little bit of concern about how it will be spent, I have to believe that it's in our best interest to turn them loose to get ready to do the things that need to be done. And so I'm going to oppose the amendment, too.
Is $500,000 sufficient to aid in this pre-determination before you do a business plan?
Well, and I think that's where the confusion is occurring. The business plan, from my perspective, is not necessarily focused on improving the internal operations of DRPT. The business plan that I'm talking about adopting, bringing forth in August, is a business plan on how we deliver better public benefits for the programs that we administer. The activities that I'm asking you to support now are those things that help you get to a point, help you as a business know what your cost drivers are, how do you plan, and how do you forecast. From my perspective, I don't think necessarily a business plan should be so focused even on improving the basic fundamental operations of the entity. Moreover, we've already funded the costs associated with producing the business plan. The consultants that we have on board that have given us those initial internal reviews have now begun the process of putting together the formal business plan document. And if you recall from yesterday, we talked about those major items that were still outstanding in terms of our role in congestion management, the development of these long-range plans, as well as the rail plan and other issues. Those are part of the things that will go into our strategic plan document. The things that we're talking about today are just those basic, fundamental things that you should expect any agency, public or private, to do. There's nothing special about this.
Ms. Carr?
You asked the question a few minutes ago, but where is the funding? And I believe you stated, how many years has it been this?
Well, the money has been accruing since 1986.
Right. So we're not talking about new money. We're talking about money that's been lying there doing nothing. And that's the reason I commented and complimented you yesterday of your program and what you're ready to do and what we have been sitting here as a board trying to plan. There's not even a strategic plan there. Am I correct?
Any other?
All I said, not to be critical, but a dollar is a dollar no matter what bucket it comes from.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Peter, I think, understands that I fully respect his opinion on this, but I respectfully disagree. One of the things that is concerning me is the way we're discussing this. And I guess this is a fine line, and it's not something you can draw on a piece of paper, but I think we're slipping down the slope of micromanagement here. I think that this board is supposed to be an oversight board and a policy board. We're not supposed to manage, and I don't think any of us can manage or tell Matt how he can manage running DRPT. I'm not sure that we have ever, and I guess you could argue that we should have, but I'm not sure we have ever spent this much time talking about an $11 million issue on what we allocate. And I think that Dr. Davis is exactly right. I mean, we have to, this agency has come forward and they proposed a very, very ambitious plan to get us where we need to be. I think we need to trust the agency and move on.
Mr. Chairman, I have had my issues with DRPT in the last couple of years regarding the rail in the 95 corridor, regarding transit in the metropolitan Richmond area. At the end of the day, I think Matt is handing us the box of matches and with a match in hand, and he's saying, please light this damn fire for us. I mean, that's what he was hired to do. I'm ready to strike the match and move on, and I'll look forward to real on the ground, on the rail, on the rolling stock results as a consequence of this action, and we'll know soon enough whether that's happening or not.
Okay. Shall we frame it as one of the first nails in the bridge to efficiency? Because I think we're going to hold to an efficient operation, and the demand that they bring to reporting here that we're going to need to make sure that we're getting the bang for the buck that's invested. So I'd call the question.
Peter, I'm going to ask you to make a closing comment on your motion. I don't have a vote in this matter. We have a resolution, a motion, an amendment, and then a second amendment, which is what we'll be voting on, which is Peter's amendment to that. I do think there are two things important to acknowledge here. One is that we're not an administrative board. We do have an accountability and an oversight responsibility, number one. Number two, we would not even be here if Mr. Tucker and his staff had not undertaken on their own initiative. We didn't direct them to do that, to go find and sweep the corners and go through the kind of real hard questions. And I think we should reward good management behavior. So I hope you'll oppose the motion. I understand your goal, very legitimate. We have an oversight function. And I think that's achieved through the business reporting processes. I would also say, Mr. Tucker, that we've evolved into this standard of doing a work session 1 month and an action item the next, so we avoid situations like that. And so to the best extent possible, we're trying to observe that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Peter?
Yeah, and I'll be very brief. As my amendment goes down to failure. I think you know, Matt, and I think others know, nobody's a greater proponent of rail and mass transit than I am. And I don't want any of my comments to be taken, as I said yesterday, as being other than very supportive of the broad effort that you've undertaken to really review the operations of the agency. I do think it's consistent with our oversight responsibilities and is not micromanaging to ask for greater specificity in the form of a business plan that will show how the expenditure of these monies relates to the goal than you've provided at this point. And I certainly would expect that in the context of my own business and managing executives in my company, and I wouldn't view it as micromanaging. I do view $11 million in the context of your operational or administrative budget as an extraordinarily large sum of money, and as Mr. Witt said, a dollar is a dollar, and the fact that it has not been utilized for something else doesn't mean that it doesn't have opportunity cost. Nothing would make me happier than to ultimately see a business plan, and I hope we will anyway, that will convince me that this $11 million is being used effectively to get to the goal of advancing rail and mass transit the way all of us would like to. I just think we need to see more. So having said that, I'm perfectly comfortable putting the amendment to a vote.
Okay. We have the main motion, which has been amended, and we have a second amendment proposed by Mr. Schwartz and a second by Mr. Trent. All in favor of Mr. Schwartz's amendment, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Motion fails. We go back.
Move on the original motion as amended.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda, and I apologize, we are behind schedule, are the bid results. Mr. Curley, going in ably for the state construction engineer.
Yes, sir, I have five projects today I'm going to ask you to pass, and two I'm going to ask you to get. The first one is on Pink Ship.
Pages 1 and 2 are replacement pages.
Yes, page 1 and page 2 are replacement pages. Also some write-ups replacement on those. The first is a asphalt overlay, a rubber strip, guardrail upgrade. This is a federal participating preventative maintenance project located on I-81 and 64. It's about 50 miles long. One of the reasons there is a combination of both maintenance and construction funds. And if you notice on the right-hand side there, we're showing what the construction cost is and what the district budget is. About a million and a half in construction programs and line items dealing with guardrail replacement and pavement markings. So I'm recommending that be awarded.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Second.
All in
favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, page number two is also a big sheet. I'm requesting that you reject this particular project of repainting the Benjamin Harrison Bridge. As we were doing the bid analysis, we found out the tank system that we called for was a sole source item that we think led to the higher prices, so we will be redoing that to open it up to more competition, and I move that you
move to reject, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second to reject? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The issue is on a white face. Number three is on white face in the city of Stanton. We are moving to reject that. It was over well over bid analysis that we had. This is an open project to improve Churchill Avenue. Staff will be looking at this, looking at what we put in there, and get it back out to the advertisement.
Mr. Chairman, I move we reject it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Piece number four, which is also a white contract, asking you to approve the award of this particular contract for the fifth mantle and removing of the Route 25 bridge over Memphis River. We did not bring this last time because the apparent low bidder on this did not accept the contract. We will be receiving a bond of $100,000 from him on that. We had four other bidders. I sent staff out there to look at this to see if we could justify the bids that we have. They did, so I recommend that we award this particular project.
Question, is this the King's Highway Bridge?
It is.
All right, is there... A motion.
So moved.
For a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the last one you have is also page number five on a white sheet. This is a city of Hampton project. It's to improve the traffic capacity of the entrances surrounding the Hampton Roads Coliseum. Fred Whitney, the city engineer, was here earlier, but I allowed him to go home about 10 o'clock. And he indicated to me that the city supports this and has the necessary funding to do the project.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. I know there are several folks who have indicated a desire to bring items up under new business. Ken, did you get it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and that's going to be there with me. I know that I was late. This won't take that much time. I have a motion to offer. I've got a lot of motions today. This relates to, in part, to Matt Tucker's presentation yesterday when he told us that he had found $11 million going back over 21 years. Anecdotally, I add to that my experience in my district, where one of the cities in my district recently became part of the First Cities program. And I think, as everyone knows, that's what happens then is the city gets a check from the state for all of its accumulated urban funds that have been allocated by this board. In this particular case, the city's total cash payment is approximately $25 million. $1 million of that, they didn't know they had. It's money left over from old projects. And, you know, part of the reason they didn't know it, they had it, I'm sure, is based upon personnel changes in the city because it goes back, I'm told, by the staff, some 20 years. But part of the responsibility lies here, that money has just been sitting there basically unclaimed, unknown. And I've talked to Greg Worley and Barbara Reese and the commissioner about this and before I offer this motion, but it seems to me that based on these two instances, there could be a lot more money sitting around. I know from talking to Barbara that the staff has been working over a long period of time to clean up things in terms of the urban funding for cities. but perhaps we have a problem within the secondary system as well. So what I would like to do is to ask the staff of both DRPT and VDOT to come back to the board in the fall with recommendations on how we can ensure that this doesn't happen again in the future, that we have an annual review and a report to this board so that funds can either be reallocated or the identity of the locality that's supposed to have the money is raised to the forefront and that community is advised of it. So I offer this motion, and I apologize to you that I can't give it to you in hard copy. And I just, if it passes, I pity Carol because she's got to read my chicken scratch here. I move that the staff of VDOT and DRPT present to the CTB at its September meeting recommendations as to how the CTB can ensure in the future that unused funds allocated to VDOT and DRPT are systematically reviewed and reported to the CTB on an annual basis and are either reallocated by the CTB or distributed or reallocated to the locality designated in the original allocation. The recommendations shall include draft policies for consideration by the CTB and suggested legislation for the CTB to consider for recommendation to the 2008 General Assembly that would make the systematic review by VDOT and DRPT a requirement of law.
Second.
Anybody need me to read that again?
No.
Could I make
yes.
one suggestion, since I can't propose an amendment, but I think it would be appropriate for this body to make recommendations to the governor for inclusion in his legislative program.
I will accept that as an amendment.
I'll make an amendment that's legitimate. I'll make
Second.
A friendly amendment.
Yes. Okay. So you have an amendment to the original resolution.
Okay.
It's been seconded.
Any discussion, questions? Is there a motion? There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Peter, you had two items, I believe.
Yeah, and neither of these would be a motion of any kind, but just observations. Two things are troubling me deeply, and I want to mention them. The first is procedural. I feel like the way our schedule and our agenda is set up, we are forced to rush through a lot of discussions that are too important to rush through. And I also feel like some of our presenters during the workshop end up really just reading a PowerPoint presentation that we've already received in advance. And so I'm wondering how we can restructure our agenda and our schedule and our expectations of the presenters. And this is just something to think about for future meetings. So that we can use the time in the workshop session for more meaningful discussion, give and take, that isn't as time-constrained as it always tends to be. It'll put more of a burden on us to make sure we read the packages more thoroughly in advance, but so be it. And I also feel that the flip side of it is that I really think our action meeting as we've had today really needs to have whatever time it needs to have. We've all taken a lot of time out of our schedules to be here, and frankly the marginal utility of not feeling under the gun to give the items that really need more thorough and complete discussion their due, as opposed to the inability to be back in wherever we're coming from an hour earlier, is such that we ought to do that. So as our chair, I'd like you to give some consideration. It seems to be a problem every meeting. The second thing...
Could I, Peter, just by way of dialogue, I mean, I think one of the things that I've tried to do as chair, and if you went to a CTB meeting, say, 10 years ago, it would be sort of an interesting exercise. you know, I think that simple rule of work session preceding an action item is a very good rule to live by. If you look at the way, at least I've tried to structure things, it's 90% work session. Now, I think one of the things is we're dealing with a lot of substance. And, I mean, it just comes down to frankly, to time. And every, we could probably spend a whole work session just on the VDOT business plan easily. And so I would welcome suggestions as to how you all would want to think about that. At the end of the day, it comes down to time management. Mm-hmm. And how much time do we have as a body to devote to issues? This is a this is a long meeting by CTV standards. And so I would welcome some suggestions.
Well, one on this one, Mr. Chairman, especially this one, because it was so full of substance yesterday, it seemed to me, in retrospect, we could have started that one at noontime, mm-hmm. And devoted more of yesterday to that. And that might be worth considering. And I don't know, the ones who might have to come further than I for most of our meetings should weigh in on this, but I personally don't have a problem starting at noon on Wednesdays when it looks like we're going to have more than three or four substantive discussions, because we could have probably just as well, but I think there would have been a lot more questions and discussion on a couple of those topics yesterday.
Anybody object to our exploring, checking with people's schedules? Because if you just look ahead, May and June is going to be about this very important six-year program adoption. July is going to be the revenue sharing program. By September and October, we're into major regulatory actions on subdivision streets, and there's a host of issues we haven't even discussed, like impact fees and regional performance measures. I mean, so we may need that additional time. But
Mr. Chairman, maybe I've been around too long and in too many meetings, but deadlines are wonderful things to bring about resolution of issues that are complex and difficult, and it doesn't trouble me as much maybe as it does some other people to make up my mind as I listen to these conversations without spending inordinate amount of time second-guessing administrators and people who are describing how they go about making their decisions that lead up to our approving a policy or overall guidance. And I think the board would deteriorate very quickly into micromanaging if we spent a lot more time than we are approaching a number of these subjects. And as much as I sympathize with what Peter's saying, I like deadlines. I like time frames within which you've got to think and make up your mind rather than just inordinately let things go on and on and on for discussion. So I fall back on the other side of the thing and think that the kind of schedules we have, if we do our homework, gives us plenty of time to make decisions. Because a lot of these decisions, you're going to change your mind three or four times if you listen to all the conversation as you're going through them. And that's the value of being able to do that and use your best judgment. And if we do something wrong, we'll come back and fix it the next time. And the blessing we have with a lot of the policies we make is they're reviewed over and over and over and changed constantly. And that's one of the beauties of the political process, which we all enjoy and participate in.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for suggesting that. And
I had one other thing.
I do know that. If anybody has any other thoughts, I am particularly concerned about May, June, and September and October meetings. So we may want to look at those schedules to see. I would also say, again, on the six-year program, for those of you who communicate with the district administrator, please spend some time on that. That's time very well spent in advance of the May and the June meetings.
Mr. Chairman, the other thing I wanted to mention, I was very disturbed by the comments of the gentleman about the EIS for I-81. That was new news to me. I have not read the final EIS, but I do remember that this board worked very hard in the fall to craft a set of amendments to the resolution. And my recollection is that, and I want to go back and look at it, but that we were quite explicit in our desire to make sure that as that EIS was finalized, the potential rail alternatives were thoroughly studied. And I do remember that we recognized that the study of the rail alternatives at that point was grossly deficient and made assumptions that the result of which you could only come to the conclusion that there would be no rail diversion. And we were very much looking to that further freight study, and I think that the resolution encompassed that. I want to look at that, but and I'm happy to undertake that between now and the next meeting. But I will tell you that if I come to the conclusion that that final EIS was finalized in a way that disregards the resolution of this board, I will propose a new resolution at the next meeting for us to consider, which will have much stronger language in it about how we expect the I-81 project to go forward.
Yeah, I've taken a look at it, and again, the way I read it is extremely consistent with the action that the board took last year relative to the 81. Specifically, what
would you just repeat that one more time?
It was absolutely consistent with the action that was taken by the board, the resolution that was adopted by the board last year. And essentially, what you have a two-track process. You got the I-81 freight study going on. We anticipate the results in the fall. And what the requirement was placed by the CTB action is before VDOT actually implemented or made a final decision, that they would have to consider the results of the study in making the decision. That's what is actually embodied in that document, is that check and balance that the CTB asked for. So from my perspective, it was wholly consistent with the action that was taken by this board last year. And trust me, from as DRPT, we are closely following what's happening. And again, I thought the FEIS really did reflect the action that was taken here.
Okay. Well, I think, folks, and again, the executive summary has been passed out along with the resolution. We will be devoting some significant time at the October CTB meeting. That'll be the one-year anniversary of that. We'll be in Roanoke, to kind of take stock of where we are on I-81. And there are some, hopefully by then, some developments. Great news is there's $140 million for safety improvements and truck climbing lanes on I-81, and then another $40 to $50 million in funds for rail improvements to take trucks off the highways there. So I just and I believe some of the comments in terms of tone may be worth going back to look at, and I've asked both the commissioner and the director to do that. But in terms of substance, we are moving ahead aggressively with the resolution that was passed by the CTB, and we have an opportunity to put things on the ground on the both highway and the rail side that are, as Mr. Kuo, if he is still with us, indicated, our rail enhancement program is a national and industry leader, and I think we should be proud of that, and I'm sure that further review will verify that. Okay, any other items folks want to bring up under new business?
No, I don't want to bring it up, but I'm going to say that having taken time to read and try to understand the federal EIS and asking the people who are doing it and getting the same answer, that what we have is just what you articulated, the money that we didn't have before, and the direction that is clear to proceed with the rail component. And I understand in reading the EIS, my point is tone is inconsequential, because I can interpret that tone totally different. I wasn't there. I didn't hear the inflection. But I know what the impact has been, and I know what the words say. And I just want to make it clear, the DRPT and VDOT have not shown contempt or disrespect for the board's direction and the resolution that we passed. Everything that has happened in reality has been in support and in compliance with our direction. And any public statements to the contrary, should be scrutinized very closely to see if they're crossing the line into something against the public interest or legalities.
Okay, thank you. Any other new business come before the board? I'm sorry we're late. Everybody, please drive safely, and the meeting is now adjourned.